It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me.
And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
This was in between Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. Right in between. Yeah.
You find him, yell loud and clear, but stay away from him. You understand? All right, let's go.
I will never watch this movie again. I will only recommend it to people that I don't like.
You're crazy!
Call me that.
And that was it. I thought maybe that Bruce Campbell was going to end up being the killer. Because I'm like, he's in this movie. Special appearance by Bruce Campbell.
You are such a dick, Tim.
Jackass,
quit!
Really,
no, hey, it's so typical of you, Tim.
Quit screwing around, damn it. This is serious business.
I think
it's enjoyable in enough part to not hate it, unlike whatever that stupid witch fucking thing was we watched a few months ago.
Oh, it's just Supernatural.
No,
Superstition.
Superstition, whatever.
Hey, who is that? Tim? Tim, I know it's you. Very funny, you dick.
This guy was like, he's here. No, I'm here. No, now I'm here. Like, the only way it would have been more laughable is if he used a fucking smoke bomb every single time.
He literally went from beating a guy with a severed head to teleporting outside to kill the bread man.
Best partial decapitation this side of fucking Chouinard from Hellraiser 2, my friends, because you actually watch this happening. You're there through almost the entire fucking thing.
Whole movie didn't make any sense, so I just accepted the blood wherever it was gonna go. Like the blood dripping from the desk onto the lamp after his body was up in the attic, who cares? It's just blood everywhere. Let's keep it flowing.
Here comes fucking Parker walking down 9 miles, swinging a goddamn head by the hair in one hand and his sandwich in the other.
The place is a fucking mess, but he's gonna take the time.
I was just gonna say that.
He's gonna take the time to stop his murder spree to grab a couple things of
paper towels
to put them back on the fucking shelf.
Don't you see? I'm just crazy about this store.
This is Cash Wampum welcoming you to the first Horror 101 episode of 2021. Our haunted theme is over, my friends. No real theme for this year, but we have made a conscious decision to go back to the Horror 101 roots, at least for the most part. If you remember long, long ago, I spoke about using this show to spotlight films that you might have missed but should watch. The hidden gems, the good but bads, the unsung heroes of horror. That was the original purpose of Horror 101, to educate your fears, hit the subscribe button. So tonight, we're getting back on that track, and we're going to start by focusing on a Scott Spiegel film from 1989. Now, if that name sounds familiar, it's because Spiegel co-wrote Evil Dead 2 with Sam Raimi. This is a cheese-filled slasher that came way, way late in the game. It is essentially most of the crew that gave us Evil Dead 2, returning to give us an ultra-low-budget last hurrah of 80s gory goodness. We hope you enjoy as we give the Horror 101 treatment to Intruder.
Somebody in this camp ain't what he appears to be. Right now, that may be one or two of us. By spring, it could be all of us.
At least we have the wine. Try the wine.
Yes, I will be switching to wine, but I'm enjoying a beer right now because I had pizza for dinner. And I am having an Old Comrade for Frank Beer. So if you keep that on the show, maybe we'll get free beers out of it because Frank Beer is awesome and I endorse Frank Beer.
And I forgot to say thank you for joining us for this not so impromptu Discord podcasting session.
Wait, everyone has to have a drink.
I do.
No problem. Cheers.
Andrew used impromptu correctly. We have to celebrate. Circle the calendar.
Good job.
I would have, or Helen and I would have much rather had you guys join us, but for reasons where Brian was just explaining that things are getting fairly dangerous out there still, we figured let's break out the Discord again and allow 21st century technology to allow us to get together virtually and discuss this film for our listeners.
Yeah, it's too bad we couldn't be in person because we could have had you over for dinner.
Yes.
I saw your picture. Stop posting pictures.
I'm jealous.
You posted that ridiculous looking cake that I was going to sit over. It's like, Andrew has to wait till tomorrow. None of us are getting any, okay, of the cake. What the hell? And now I'm seeing these pictures of Korean beef tacos. Now, you know, for years, Helen, I have been asking you to try your hand at Korean food, and you wait for a lockdown to make your Korean tacos. I'm taking this personally. Or can they place an order? Does Andrew do delivery?
Just consider this practice for when we can all get together.
Okay. Wait, you're doing practice Korean food and Paul and I aren't invited to be your test subjects? Hold on here.
Hey, blame COVID, man.
I will hold you to that.
I promise. You know my word is good.
All right.
Your word is law.
All right, so Intruder.
Yes. I know nothing about this movie.
Well, we discussed this and we're like, okay, let's get back this year, maybe not all of them, but let's get back to films that are kind of like not very well known, you know, movies that kind of slid under the radar for one reason or another. And I think Intruder is probably a good example of that. So we'll do that this evening. This is a film that is basically the crew of Evil Dead 2 getting together and pumping out one of the last 80s style slashers at the very end of the 80s. This is 1989. It's got Sam and Ted Raimi are both in the film. Bruce Campbell has a cameo at the end of the movie as well. And it's like shoestring budget. This is a cheap film. I'm just going to warn you right now. If you haven't seen it, Paul, you've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Nick, we know you haven't seen it. We won't even ask. Brian, is basically one of those films that was like way too late in the game. But I got the feeling that they just wanted to get together. They had this stupid script, which required them to be in this grocery store for one night. And there's this killer going around. And there is some GRU in it, but it is shoestring budget. It is, I wouldn't say bottom of the barrel. You could tell these people had fun, but you're gonna see faces from Evil Dead 2.
How many times do you get both Raimi brothers acting in the same movie?
You don't.
That's rare.
Yeah, don't.
This might be the only time. So this is not a Full Moon production, but according to IMDb, you're right, Charles Band is uncredited, but somehow he has money in this?
Yeah, he's an executive producer. What I'm not clear on is whether or not he gave money to the project when they made it, or if he bought it later and put it under the Full Moon. Okay. Because I think, Paul, wasn't it you that said that this movie's under some sort of a 30th anniversary Full Moon?
He bought it later and he released it on, I'm presuming Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. So it is under Full Moon now. Like, if you were to go out and buy a DVD or a Blu-ray copy of it, it would be Full Moon production.
So I'm wondering if he bought it later, just like Troma bought like Rabid Grannies and stuff like that after the fact, way after it was made.
From what I read yesterday, it seemed like that's what he did.
You can definitely see how this was like around the same era of Night of the Demons. Some of the gore in this film is significant. And I think the MPAA in 1989 had enough. They were already like, no, no, no to Friday the 13th. Don't show any gore, you'll get an X rating. There's no way that this movie would have gotten an R rating in 1989. No way. So that's probably why a lot of people never heard about this film. It was probably never in any theaters. It probably got an X rating and immediately went, you know, maybe they showed it in a couple of theaters in New York or
Pittsburgh or L.A. or something like that, but this is not a movie that you would have ever caught in Windsor in 1989. You just never heard of it. If you didn't have a Fangoria magazine subscription, this you would have never known about this film. Now, I know we were testing the microphone last night with Nick. Brian couldn't join us because he was working, but Nick, did you not look up any of the posters? Do you know who the killer is?
I did not look up any of the posters.
So you don't know who the killer is?
Anything involving this movie.
Okay, excellent. Brian Stewart, have you looked into this film at all?
I know nothing about this film, but after seeing the warning in Facebook about there being really stupid spoilers on the posters, I avoided looking up anything about this movie deliberately.
I do not expect high marks from you guys on this film. I do not. Oh, who knows? Who knows?
Good evening, Walnut Lake shoppers.
It's closing time.
The store will be closing in 15 minutes.
But the night crew still has work to do.
Oh my God, we're gonna get in so much trouble.
Because there's one last customer who isn't satisfied.
No.
This creep keeps calling her. He's driving us nuts.
Leave me alone.
He wants to slash their prices.
Who's there?
He wants to cut their inventory.
You're crazy!
In fact, he wants to chop until they all drop.
I saw him kill Linda.
And now, he's turning their retail store...
There's gonna be one more killing here tonight.
...into a wholesale slaughterhouse.
I'm just crazy about this store.
Intruder.
Let it breathe for a bit. For you.
It's a Sherman Schneider.
That was probably the cheesiest film I've seen in a long time.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
They get worse than that. Oh. Everybody's going to be so happy that I made them watch this one. Okay, who's back? Who's back now?
Okay.
Did you hear Nick? Nick, say that again, Nick. No, don't hold back. Like, tell me how glad you are that I made you watch this film. Seriously.
But you know what? I don't think I ever rose to the level of hate. I laughed a lot. So I found myself enjoying it. This is what I would call a good bad movie.
I agree.
This would have been perfect for a drive-in.
This was in between Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. Right in between. Yeah. But you know what? After I watch this film again, I can believe that this was around the same year as, say, Night of the Demons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the only thing I'm thinking of is at least Night of the Demons. I mean, the acting was horrible. You had some good gore. You're isolated to one spot during one evening. That kind of shit we got. But the credits of this film is the moon. That's it. Just the moon hanging in the sky. And Night of the Demons actually had that really cool animation. You're moving with the animation. The music is all over the place. You're entertained right from the start. And this is just the moon with some ominous synth music and some screams coming from nowhere, you know, as the credits roll. I'm like, come on, give me something. No, you get the moon for 3 minutes as we give you the credits for this film.
Jen.
Yeah?
Dave asked you out yet?
No, he's still seeing Carrie.
I heard they broke up.
Am I interrupting something?
No.
I could hear everything. Don't realize.
Did anyone else think the old man might have been the killer? The guy from the beginning who was interrupting the conversation?
No. I could hear. Am I interrupting something? Oh, no. Oh, okay, because I could hear everything.
And then they had to show him drop his groceries on the floor for some reason. I'm like, Pat, more time. This is good. Okay.
Good grief.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Discount the senior, nothing. Excuse me. Hold hands, you lovebirds.
That guy's an old, he was involved with the Three Stooges quite a bit, and that whole hold hand love bird shit, he used to say all the time in the Three Stooges sketches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it makes sense, because Sam Raimi's always been a big Three Stooges fan.
Right.
Yeah, so they got a hold of him, and they're like, hey, you know what? We love Three Stooges. We want, you know, we throw gags in our films. Would you mind having this little bit part? And he agreed to it. And they're like, do you mind doing that line that you're famous for? He's like, hold hands, love birds? He's like, sure, why the hell not?
You're crazy!
Call me that. What the hell's your problem, man?
Well, you got Jennifer at the beginning, and she's all of a sudden her estranged boyfriend pops out of nowhere, makes a scene, gets into fisticuffs with the entire fucking staff. Basically, the whole film is making you think that this is the guy that's going around killing people because he's nuts. And he's already gone away for manslaughter because he accidentally killed somebody in a bar fight, right? I think they tried too hard pushing him as the ankle.
Oh, way too hard. Way too hard. Especially the second time he comes back in.
Yeah.
Like the first time when he's in, he's just belligerent, kind of whatever. And the second time he comes in, he's just like, you know, he's going full fucking Ike Turner.
What the hell's going on? Sam Raimi, the poor butcher there. I like, first, he pops in, the first thing you see him, he comes in with a cup of coffee. Hey, what's going on? Buddy grabs him and just throws him to the floor.
You find him, yell loud and clear, but stay away from him. You understand? All right, let's go.
So, yeah, I don't know why you thought we would hate this. I actually found it quite charming for a slasher film. I lost track just how many Chekhov's guns there were. We could have had a drinking game for the number of times a Chekhov's gun gets used in this film. It's ridiculous. From the, what is it, for the paperwork spike to, I thought somebody was going to get killed by the lobster in the tank. That's how ridiculous it was.
You scared me to death.
What? I'm sorry.
Hey, what happened? Did you see him?
No, it's just Tim scaring me.
You are such a dick, Tim.
Jack, what?
Really? No, hey, it's so typical of you, Tim.
Quit screwing around, damn it. This is serious business.
I think I know where Craig might be hiding.
Where?
The attic.
Hey, shut up. Up there where I caught you guys smoking that wacky tobacco? Oh, come on, bub. Let's check it out.
Me?
Yeah, you. Come on, damn it.
Well, I like it. Yeah. He's standing outside the door, 10 feet behind the chick that's telling the story about how he killed somebody and went to jail, and the girl that she's talking to is facing the door, doesn't notice he's there. There's a couple times the guy's like, within eyeshot of several people, nobody notices him, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Michael Myers should tell this guy to hold his beer. He's a great lurker.
Hey, were the cops just here? Yep. Did they pick up Craig? Nope, not yet. Teddy is waiting for me at home, and he hates it when I'm late. Jen, your nose. Here, I think I have a tissue.
I understand it kept bleeding, you know, every once in a while, and that's fine. But when she fucking goes to clean herself, she starts at the bottom. It keeps dripping. So why not stop it at the source and then clean up?
It's like Niagara Falls. Like, she bleeds so much at one point for the nose, it gives her position away. What the hell was that?
No wonder she was running like that. She was anemic.
I have no problem with the amount of blood. That's fine. I'm sure they exaggerated it for the film. But my problem was, if you have a bleeding nose, you're supposed to pinch your nose. And then, you know, clean up. No, she's starting to clean up from the bottom, like the neck. Well, and then it's still coming down. Like,
yeah.
Well, Bill and I, we've agreed to sell the store to the city, and your jobs will end about the first of next month. However, look, Bill and I want you all to know we appreciate the years that you've been loyal to us, and you'll find a nice bonus check from us. It's a little token of our appreciation.
And if any of you kids need any kind of a recommendation, you know, we'll give you the best one in the world.
Right.
Now, does everybody know what they're doing tonight?
Good. I gotta take Fasty.
You know what? Through the whole fucking movie, Helen kept saying, "So that's Ted Raimi." I'm like, "No, that's Sam, dear." And then the next, okay, so that's Ted Raimi. No, that's Sam Raimi. Okay, this right here, that's Ted Raimi. I'm like, "No, that's Ted Raimi's got the glasses. God damn it, Ted Raimi's got the glasses, dude."
And then I asked, "Is he slow in real life?"
Is Ted? No, no. If I was watching this for the first time, I would have been really, really weirded out, because the first kill was what's-her-face in the parking lot. What was her name?
Linda,
thank you.
Linda,
played by something Estevez. Can anybody tell me if she's related to the Estevez?
She is. She's, I believe, a half-sister.
Of Emilio and Sheen?
She's Emilio and Charlie Sheen's sister.
Like, she's out in the parking lot, you see the silhouette of somebody, a knife comes up, she gets killed off screen, and I'm thinking to myself, oh shit, if this was your first time watching this movie, you're like, okay, is this a slasher where you don't see any blood? Please tell me that's not what we're in for here.
Well, that's what I was afraid of, because the first two supposed kills, because also the hammer upside the head is removed from in a cutaway. So I'm like, that's two now. What's going on here? And it's only that, but it's Can B. And you're like, really, Can B? You have to be brought in to do cutaways?
And then
they make up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all they do.
There's one part in this film where they paid huge homage to Evil Dead, and I'm wondering if anybody else can identify which part that was. It's blatant.
The blood on the light bulb?
Yes.
Yeah, good job, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Buddy in the office gets the skewer through the eye,
right,
and the blood's dripping down onto the lamp that's facing up from the ceiling, and the ceiling's turning red with the blood coming on it, that's right from Evil Dead. Because the projection did the same thing when he's in the basement.
Hey, Jen.
I'm sorry.
What's the matter?
My nose won't stop bleeding. Craig was staring at me in the window, and Teddy called, and Lynn is not back yet.
Hey, just relax. Look at yourself. You're shaking.
You know, and she's like, oh, this, everything's going so wrong, and my nose keeps bleeding, and the chick's missing. Oh. And he's like, give me kisses. And 5 minutes later, she's like, don't stop. For like 10 minutes on the fucking conveyor belt there. It's like, yeah, didn't you remember that you were just distressed and crying 3 minutes ago?
Hey, asswipe, cut it out.
Oh, it hurts. Hey, Dave, throw me your cutter.
It's your own cutter.
Just let me have it. Mine broke.
Fine. Here it comes.
Got it. Thanks, Dave.
You know what? Usually I'm not a fan of the quote-unquote stoner in the film, but I have to say I liked the stoner in this film. What was his name?
Bub?
Yep. His name was Bub?
Yep.
Really? I guess that's a homage to Day of the Dead, then. Whatever Ted Raimi was listening to was fucking horrible. Okay, I don't know what kind of Casio fucking home brew music shit they came up with. And after he died, it's still playing, but in half speed.
Like, yeah, because the knife going through his head made the tape player slow down.
Well, like, what the fuck is that? And it's still playing when he's coming down the conveyor belt.
Oh,
It was a little overkill with the stomach wound. I'm like, I've never seen a stomach stab that had arterial spray. What major artery is in your stomach? That was a bit much. Well, I didn't get that one.
And what knife goes through you and comes out the other end to puncture a beer can behind you? That has to be a... if you had a sword, maybe. A kitchen knife? I don't know.
That was a fire hose of blood when he stabbed him in the stomach.
I didn't mind it. It happened. I'm like, oh, yes, more gore. I didn't mind it. Just give me anything flowing, and I'm happy as a gore fan. Anything flowing. I don't care.
And Andrew's favorite scene is the one with the wine.
Try the wine. We finished the Don Moussed Verdesserty, and now we're on to the... the Don David Reserve Malbec from Brian Stewart.
Oh, how was that?
Not too bad, Brian.
Hey, who is that? Tim? Tim, I know it's you. Very funny, Tim. Tim? This isn't amusing, Tim. Very funny, you dick. The fuck? Tim? Screw Tim! Oh, wow, it's Tim. What a surprise. Tim, you look horrible. Anal itch got you down? Can you actually speak, Tim? What are you, catatonic?
But then the arms come through and grab him by the head, and you see him blatantly throw himself
and
climb into the fucking display, so it's easier for the hands to drag him into the situation. Newt, favorite scene, not the bandsaw.
Fuck you guys. Okay, then the cardboard crusher.
Oh, she took the cardboard crusher.
Yeah, Bub's death. It was, well, him screaming, the close shot as it's coming closer. Not only when it crushed him, just the arterial spray that continued to go up the hydraulics. That was awesome. And I have to say that all the deaths, the extra blood splatter was amazing.
It was a juicy film. Yep. I'll give it that.
Very juicy.
You know what? I'm sitting here because he went up on the ladder, got spooked by the owner that still had the eye trauma. Oh, help me.
Right.
My eye is still bleeding down the wall. Whatever. I thought what was going to happen was that he was going to fall off the top of the ladder and like break his legs to the point where he couldn't move, which would make him easy fodder to drag to the saw and then get killed. But they didn't write anything like that in. He landed and then got part of his head sliced off and then just screamed all the way to his death, kind of kicking like a 3-year-old might. You know, I'm like, no, put some effort into trying to survive, my friend. But, you know what? The fact that you're going to die so well is just going to negate any argument I have about how you got to the saw. I don't give a fuck how you got to the saw, because that was an epic kill. You should have heard Helen when the saw's going through his fucking face. Helen's like, oh my god! Ah! Oh my god!
I was laughing, though. I was laughing at the same time.
I was impressed with the devil work they put on the dummy's head. Like, he had that gaping mouth screaming. Oh, yeah. And you could see the roof of his mouth was discolored. I was like, that looks pretty... I was, like, staring it down his throat. Like, that looks pretty real. Look at that. That was fascinating.
I tell you what, best partial decapitation this side of fucking Chouinard from Hellraiser 2, my friends, because you actually watch this happening. You're there through almost the entire fucking thing.
Oh, he was fully conscious during that whole ordeal. Yeah, that bandsaw scene was well done. That was right up there with the bandsaw scene from Class of 1984. Mm. I mean, they were pretty good.
This is why they brought in KNB. They're like, okay, well, we don't have the budget to make everybody's death glorified, but we need one. We need
one or two like really solid ones.
We need something that's going to trigger the MPAA and make people say, okay, I'm glad I bought the ticket for this film. We need one.
It's not a very good mystery when you eliminate literally every person on screen except for three. And one is clearly not the killer because she's the victim. And the last two, well, the one's a very weak red herring. They've literally eliminated all other people, unless there was going to be like a completely out of left field person that had nothing to do with the cast, you know. And that was it. I thought maybe that Bruce Campbell was going to end up being the killer because I'm like, he's in this movie, special appearance by Bruce Campbell. He's going to be the killer, has to be.
Like, my favorite scene was, like, when she grabbed the hook and she's standing there, or sitting there, and you see the feet behind, and then it pans up and you see it's only half a body.
Yes.
Just the legs. I thought that was cool. And then somehow, magically, that piece of meat starts moving and he's in there with her, and she was staring at the door the entire time. So again, this guy apparently either knows all the mystical, magical ins and outs of that fucking place. I'm just like, how did he, it's like, I liked that one shot, but then I was completely, like, afterwards, I was just like, oh, come on.
She's happening upon these bodies, but when she comes and Ted Raimi's body comes down, and he's on the conveyor belt, and he looks like he's... Because the last time we saw Raimi, he just got a knife in the back of the head. We didn't see... That was it, and he was dragged away. So he looks like he's in one piece still, only he's still dead. And then when it starts going up, his head falls off, and then you start seeing his body parts rolling away from the main body. He's been hacked up. I thought that was a good touch, because you didn't notice that when he was coming down. She freaks out, leaves, he goes back up, and then he starts just falling apart into pieces.
No!
I will say this. It goes on a bit long after the reveal, and the reveal has to be the silliest reason to murder people I have ever encountered in a slasher film, which, by the way, includes nothing at all.
For the store. Danny was always a big boss. He always called the shots on every business deal until now. I couldn't let that son of a bitch take the store away from me. The store's my whole life. I had to kill him.
The night crew had nothing to do with it.
Oh, I couldn't let anybody stop me. I guess I just got a little carried away.
You're sick!
Don't you see? I'm just crazy about this store.
I love this store.
No, you can't give it away. You can't give it away. We can't spoil it.
No, we're going to spoil the fuck out of this.
Please, all I need to do is go back and look at any poster from any movie.
Yeah, now that you've seen the movie, go look at Intruder 1988-9 poster.
89, yeah.
And tell me who's the killer. Go ahead.
It's right on the poster. It's right in the artwork.
Here comes fucking Parker, walking down 9 miles, swinging a goddamn head by the hair in one hand, and his sandwich in the other.
You're playing hard to get. Right off.
Yeah, it was fun up until the reveal and the cat and mouse antics of the last really 20 minutes. It goes on a long time after you find out who the killer is. And it's a bit too much running around silliness at the end.
Well, okay, you're talking about running. He's hacking up the popcorn to get her out of the display. She runs, and then you see her just kind of like half
softer, trotting.
And Helen's like, what the fuck kind of running is that, she said?
I know. It's like,
Oh, that prancing. It was just like, this is not you running towards your lost love through a summer glade. Like, what the fuck?
Help me!
Interesting, also, side note. Scott Spiegel actually is in the movie as well.
Yeah, he's the bread man.
He's the bread guy that dies at the door.
Yeah.
So that was pretty funny.
I want to know how Buddy got out and around to the front of the building to fucking kill him so quickly.
Yeah, the keys.
Yeah, but she would have heard him opening the fucking door with the keys.
They open other doors.
Silence!
I think there were other doors. Yeah, I thought there were other doors.
Yeah, he was a little too poof. You know, he was just like, he was everywhere way too quickly. That was the one thing that just kind of really pissed me off, because it was like, this guy was like, he's here. No, I'm here. No, now I'm here. Like, the only way it would have been more laughable is if he used a fucking smoke bomb every single time.
He literally went from beating a guy with a severed head to teleporting outside to kill the bread man.
Now listen to me. That son of a bitch Bill tried to set me up. That's how come he didn't kill me. And we were fighting, he knocked me out. When I came to, I saw him kill Linda. I tried to run after him, but he ran into the store and locked the doors before I could get him. I got in here through the bathroom window, and that's how we're gonna get out of here.
I did appreciate that he actually used the severed head as a weapon. It wasn't just for shock value. He beat someone to death with a hit wall, maybe because he's still alive, but still, I mean, that would suck.
You know, usually it's used as like a shock moment, like somebody will throw a head at somebody or they'll find a decapitated head or what have you. But this was actually used as a weapon. So it comes into a very almost grotesque Three Stooges moment.
Yeah.
But it was unexpected. It was good.
Yeah, because it kept cutting back to him doing it again. And then the guy's laying unconscious on the floor, and he's still hammering at him with his fucking head. The place is a fucking mess, but he's gonna take the time.
I'm just gonna say that.
He's gonna take the time to stop his murder spree, to grab a couple things of paper towels to put them back on the fucking shelf.
But then he hacks his way through the fucking Jiffy Pop to try to get to him.
No, yeah.
I was gonna say the exact same thing.
He's gonna need those paper towels. I tell you, he's gonna clean all this mess up now.
He's brandishing this cleaver. He's like, oh, I'm gonna kill this bitch. Hold on. This should be on the rack. This should be on the shelf. I'm gonna pick these up, put them back on the shelf. That's where they belong.
This is Jennifer Ross. I'm at 2100 Walnut Lake Road. This is an emergency. I need help.
Yes. Oh, and the hand trauma. Oh, Brian Stone.
Oh, yes.
We got the cleaver between the second and fourth finger there.
That is like the second or third time I've seen that, and it never ceases to amaze me. It's really cool to see.
You know,
we just saw something recently with that.
Yes, that's probably the best of that I've seen since Friday the 13th Part 4, because near the end, before she puts Tommy puts the machete through his head, she takes a swipe at him, and he goes to grab it, and she puts it right through those two fingers and cuts down to the base of the hand, and then wrenches it out, and he brings it up, and sure enough, like, his whole hand is separating from between those two fingers, and it's bleeding all over the place. It's the exact same wound.
Wait a minute! No. He's the murderer! God damn it! No,
30 blows with a meat cleaver and he can still talk. I was like, that's impressive. But how incompetent do you have to be to hit someone 30 times with a meat cleaver and not kill them?
How many other films do you know where the killer who's sitting there dying gets a chance to, even though he's dying and it's over, he gets a chance to rub the fucking salt in the wounds and tell the cops, those two did it, those two killed everybody, and then dies and pins it all on somebody? When's the last time you saw that in a horror film?
I think I would have preferred him getting shot with the meat cleaver in hand. I was so waiting for that. That would have been great, but I don't think they could afford the squibs at that point.
they probably lost their budget, and they were just like, just scream into the camera while you're being read your rights in Miranda.
That's a bloodbath in there, man. They got bodies all over the place. They're all mutilated.
He did it!
You're under arrest. Let's go.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can use you in the court of law.
You can't show a lobster at the start of a slasher film and then have somebody killed by a lobster.
It did come into the story because a severed limb was dropped into the tank with the lobster, Brian. It did come back into the story.
Not enough.
Intruder.
but now the title's a lie because the movie wasn't about an intruder. It was about a guy who worked there. That's not an intruder. Well, he was there the whole time.
Well,
owned the place.
Yes.
It's like interloper. No, I deserve to be. I'm supposed to be here. I'm just killing people.
Well, that's what they want you to think. It was an intruder.
Yeah. Misnomer.
To throw you off the case.
They should have called it the grocery store.
What? They already had Chopping Mall from like 1986. That would have been a perfect title for this, but they already had Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall itself is a fucked up title because nobody gets chopped.
That's right. It's a bunch of security robots going wacko with their lasers.
Right.
Lasers.
I want freaking security robots with freaking laser beams on their heads.
The guy who directed this didn't really do much else. He did a whole bunch of horror films. He went on to do, Hostel 3, I think was his most famous film after this.
He directed Hostel 3?
Yes.
That's an Eli Roth. I thought Eli Roth did all of them.
No, this guy did number 3, apparently.
Oh, how interesting. I did not know that. Thank you for that bit of trivia.
Well, he directed From Dusk Till Dawn 2, which I know you guys all liked.
No, three.
Two is the one that is horrific. Yeah, we hate it.
Two is the one that's like, hey, baby, El Fucko. With Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
All right. I got a shitload of work to do. Why don't you go downstairs and make sure those jokers aren't ripping us off blind?
Let's score this film. We'll start with Nick.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna give this a 6.
6? Okay, good.
I was debating giving it a 6.5, but at the last minute my heart told me no.
Expand.
The point 0.5 would have been him putting the toilet paper back on the shelf, only to go and destroy more of the store. It would have got half a point for irony. But no, it's like I was... I sent that picture and the comment. Originally, the comment was just going to be, fuck you. But I think like 15, 20 minutes into this movie, I'm just like, the acting is terrible. The dialogue is terrible. I want all of these people to die. Get me to the point where they die so the movie can be over. Like, yeah, some of the effects were good. But yeah, I will never watch this movie again. I will only recommend it to people that I don't like.
Is there a problem, Jen?
Look, fuck off.
Nude, score it.
I will actually take that 6.5, Nick. I had fun.
That's what she said.
No continuity whatsoever in this movie. Nothing really made sense. All the points are the gore, just the funny parts, especially like the paper towel part, the fucking ridiculous wiping of her nose, like her bloody nose. Like I just can't get past that. It's just so, like, she's an idiot. Like, I mean, you know, normal people just would stop it at the source, right? And then clean up. No, she's cleaning from the bottom. It's ever never ending. So, but I mean, I just laughed through it all. Like I said, gore. The gore was great. The blood spatter, the forever, like so much blood. All the, like, the whole movie didn't make any sense, so I just accepted the blood wherever it was gonna go. Like the blood dripping from the desk onto the lamp after his body was up in the attic, who cares? It's just blood everywhere. Let's keep it flowing. Yeah, 6.5. I probably would not watch it again, but I had a great time watching it.
Give me my change.
Are you kidding?
Does it look like I'm kidding?
Let's go on to Paul B. Score it.
I think I'll match the 6. It's a bad film, but it's enjoyable in enough part to not hate it, unlike whatever that stupid witch fucking thing was we watched a few months ago.
Oh, it's just Supernatural.
No, Superstition.
Superstition, whatever. Unlike that, that wasn't enjoyable, that was just fucking terrible and nothing enjoyable. This, there were enough moments of it to be enjoyable, to pass it. Just barely. Some great gore. I enjoyed it. People who like gore should definitely watch it. I don't ever imagine myself watching it again. I can't see that ever happening.
Well, if you see him around here again, why, don't hesitate to call. And here's my card. No, that's not my card. That's my card.
Yeah. Brian Stewart?
I do picture myself watching this again, probably at Horky's around at the Shire. Oh. I can see this being a Firelight movie
a Tribune movie. He would be happy to watch this with you at any time, I guarantee it.
I think so. And this is the kind of movie you'd want to watch late night with some friends and have a couple of beers and some popcorn and just, you know, it's that kind of a movie. It's a drive-in type. But I think this will probably be the first time I've done this, but historically I typically give a movie half a point higher than Nick, and I'm going to match his 6. I wanted to give it more, but there's just certain things that don't quite follow through. You know, it's not quite fun enough to be a good bad movie. It's not quite there. It's a hair from being a 7 out of 10 perfectly bad movie. I think a lot of it is just how interminably long the movie is after the killer's reveal. It takes forever, and there's so many little twists and turns and cat and mouse and chase, and is the boyfriend dead or alive, and people coming back from the dead, and it's just, okay, after you bludgeon him with a meat cleaver 30 times, and it's still going, and it just won't end, and I'm like, this needed a quicker ending. And that first kill in a movie that is advertised as a slasher film, to wait half the film to get an off-camera kill is the biggest horror blue balls. I swear to God, it's terrible. I hated it. I'm like, ah, you cheap bastards. We know K&B is in here. This is made for horror fans, and we don't get a glorious bloody kill right off, you know, after waiting so long. Yeah, that docked some points. And no lobster kill. I would have given it a 6.5, but I am docking a full half point for that stupid Dutch angle two shot with the Oreo conversation. That is cinema hell. Don't ever do that again, directors. If I ever see that again, you will lose points. So there, 6. Solid. It's a 6 for me.
Think you're going to give old Bob another wedgie? Well, you know, I really think not. Because I had the foresight not to wear any underwear, Tim.
You know, I'm going to match the 6.5. I'm going to match the 6.5. It ain't perfect. It's got a lot of problems. But I appreciate that the people that made Evil Dead 2 came back at the end, the very end of the 80s, to give us a quintessential, cheesy, stupid, no reason for killing everybody slasher in a one-night, one-location setting. I think these guys made this film knowing exactly what they were going to give to their audience. I don't think they took themselves too seriously. If they would have took themselves too seriously, it would have been a horrible film. But the fact that we scored at 6, 6.5 tells me that we recognize these guys knew that they were making shit. They were making this Z-grade horror movie slasher that was going to be shit, so they threw in some comedy at us, they threw in some laughs, and they made sure to give us some gore to make sure that it warranted the price of admission. If there was any reason to see this film, it's to see the guy get the fucking semi-decapitation with the bandsaw. Watch it. Make sure you got the unrated version or you get cheated. You'll only get part of it. You want the full effect kind of deal. Yeah, if you're in the old 80s stupid slasher and you missed this one, absolutely. Anybody else that likes more modern fare, skip it. That's my suggestion. But I'm glad we covered it. And again, this is a slasher that not a lot of people have heard about. It didn't get a lot of coverage. Anybody outside of the Fangoria scene wouldn't have even known that it existed.
Well, I think we have enough excitement for one night.
Yeah. Danny and I want to congratulate y'all on the way you handled this situation this evening. Y'all did a fine job.
My friends, that's going to be the end of this 106th episode. Hope you enjoyed our treatment of Scott Spiegel's Intruder. If you like to giggle through your horror films, this one should definitely be on your must-watch list. We were sad to find out that Dan Hicks, who played the killer in this film, had passed away in June of last year. You will probably remember him best as the hillbilly Jake in Evil Dead 2, who gets pulled into the cellar by Henrietta and dies in one of the most over-the-top blood spurts in horror history, second only to Johnny Depp's bedroom death in Nightmare on Elm Street for sure. We've got some great films lined up to cover this year. Consider going to patreon.com/horror101 and giving us a pledge if you're liking the show. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears. Why kill your fucking employees? Why would you kill your employees?
He got carried away, Andrew. He loves the store. He got carried away.
I love the store.
It's like, if you don't have staff, you can't make money, you fucking twit.